Hey loves, like you, I desire an abundant life and its lifestyle, and to continue to show up as my best version of self, where we win in life to reclaim, rediscover, redesign an authentic and genuine self. And yes, this is intimacy on a whole new level. Welcome. Join us at claritywithsue.com. Again, that's claritywithsue.com. Welcome to the
good life. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the good life. Benny and the Jets.
Howdy, howdy.
You knew I was going there. You knew I was going there, didn't you?
I've got plenty of runways to fill up with these Jets.
Oh,
I've got.
Ding, ding, ding. Right? That was so good. I know. I was like, ding, ding. Welcome, you guys. I missed you last week. I wanted to wish you guys a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. I send love and blessings, you know, regardless of this time of year, it's love and blessings each week. And to remind all of you to really stay in gratitude and hone in on that message of gratitude with yourselves, your body, your heart, your peoples all around you. Not very good English, but you know what I'm trying to say. Gratitude is the foundation of everything that I live and teach. And yes, of course, it's Clarity with Sue now. It used to be the Gratitude Cafe, and it's still the morals and values of gratitude and love and appreciation, those elevated emotions. And the reason I bring and have this modality in the live radio show is so I can bring incredible thought leaders and education and teaching so we can have new thoughts, new ideas. It's a new you, right? It's redesigning, reclaiming, refiguring outing. Is that a word, Benny? It's a Sueism. I can't even say it again. Rigor figure outing.
I'm not even attempt. Oh, I mean, it's the day, first day back from like the holiday break. Everyone's a little bit, you know, a little squirrely. So it happens.
Yeah, well, I kind of do that a lot, but that's right. It's all Sueisms. I'm totally okay with it.
Yeah.
Again, happy holidays to everybody. Please be safe out there and going into the holiday festivities of the new year. Please, please get a driver. Be smart. You know, do all that thing. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Take care of your friends. And yeah, I guess that's it. We've got a really cool guest today. His name is Stephen Tuig, and I'm going to bring him on in just a minute. Benny, thank you so much. And remind everybody how to get a hold of Sue. You can go to claritywithsue.com. You can also, I'm asking. And of course, I say 6-star, 5-star, big star, all the stars to go on SoundCloud, iTunes, the YouTubers of the world. And give us big 5-6-star ratings. That would be wonderful. And also to remind all of you, we are live on Terrestrial Radio in the Pacific Northwest. And thank you very much for joining us. For those of you who are driving or sitting enjoying your coffee, thank you very much. We're also live on YouTube. So if you would like to see us goofing off on YouTube, myself and my guests and Benny, please do that. All you got to go, just go to YouTube and type in 11:50 a.m. and you'll see us there. We will also be on Facebook and Twitter simultaneously on all these wonderful modalities and spaces, places, and stuff. And then after our live radio, we're going to be, of course, in the iTunes world, the podcasts and the SoundClouds and all that. So please, if you want a copy of the radio show, please go to Clarity with Sue and just sign up for the newsletter and we'll get you all set up. So with that, I am going to bring on Stephen. We're going to do the formal bio and then we're going to bring him on like I do with all my guests. And we're going to get to know him, his energy, and we're going to get some deep conversation about mindfulness, trauma recovery, what that looks like. You know, you guys know this. I'm all about the tools and the how-tos and the self-regulating and the explaining. It's the awareness and having the awareness, because that's the number one thing in your life. If you have the awareness of said thing that you do want or don't want, it's just a discernment. It's just a contrast. It's just showing you what you do and don't want. So I'm going to get Stephen on here with us. We're going to go through his formal bio. So with that, hang on just a minute. So Stephen Tuig is founding of Mastering Change. Stephen has committed himself to mastering the art of transformation while seeking to heal from trauma inflicted while just a toddler. Stephen was introduced to the practice of shadow work in April of 2000. Now, guys, we're going to get into shadow work today, which is a really important conversation. So stick with us. Leading to a lifelong study and what he believes is the path of enlightenment. Stephen spent a decade working and studying under the world's leading business and life strategist, Tony Robbins. He wanted to blend shadow work with his business strategy, integration, and implementation. Tony commissioned him to interview over 10,000 business leaders worldwide to determine what made them successful and help thousands transform their businesses to more productive strategy. Stephen, welcome.
Hey, Sue, how are you? This is a fun radio station, I gotta say.
We're talking about serious stuff, but it's gotta be fun and love, right? Yep. It's gotta be retainable. Well, welcome, love. I did the formal bio. We want to get to know you, all your juicy stuff, your energy. Let's start there.
What do you want to know? Like, it's
well, your the list why. Is long, let's start with the why.
Yeah, my why. My why is always evolving. I am searching for a God, I guess, but I didn't know that. It's, again, like you said in the bio, when I was 3 years old, I was physically tortured by my stepmom. Like, she beat me, she pulled my hair out, she starved me and my sister, and then she would lock me down in the basement while my dad went to work, because apparently I look like my mom, and then she would take me out and say, if you say anything, I'll kill both of you. And it went on for a while, 3 years old, pre-verbal. So it's way down in the deep conscious. I don't call it unconscious. I call it deep conscious, but way down. And so now I'm a full grown man and I'm driving around on date night with my wife. And she's like, well, what would you like to have for dinner today? Where you want to go to eat? Well, how come I always have to pick? Why don't you ever pick? Rooted in this, you're trying to trap me, because there was a part of me that was still trapped in that basement, but I didn't know what that meant. And it sounds so woo to say, but it's very practical. It's like we're living out of these locks, these imprisons. And so my why is I was trapped in a basement. Mm-hmm. And because I was trapped in the basement, I know what it's like to be trapped down there. And I would never want anybody, but the path became much more than that. I mean, it really is a path to enlightenment. I mean, it got real woo after a minute, real quick.
Well, and you know what, Stephen, that's a metaphor for life, right? How many people are trapped? I mean, you had a percentage. There's 76% of people that feel stuck. And you also said 31% feel anxiety regarding the future. 27% feel trapped in routine. Yep. 26% more, they're lonely than they've ever been before, right? So that I think that having that conversation, and the reason I ask you this and your why, Stephen, is because
pre-COVID numbers. Those are all pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID.
Numbers.
Pre-COVID.
Right. It's worse now.
Come closer to the camera. I can't see you.
You can't see me? You can't. How's that? Can you see me now? Right.
Here I am. For those of you on live radio, you guys got to join us on YouTube. Steven's like going in and out of the camera, moving back and forth. I'm like, get back over here. I got to see you. Come over here. Come over here.
Yeah.
Okay. So the why, the transformation of the why. Bring me to, and again, recovering from trauma myself, recovering people pleaser, all the stuff. I call it a contrast. And now when I call it a contrast, it's just the wisdom to learn the indifference, right? The mm-hmm. good, the bad, whatever that looks like. And honoring the trauma or the emotions that are coming up. Can we unpack that for the listeners and talk about how important it is? It's not burying the emotions. It's not getting angry there could be some anger that comes up. But where I'm going with this, Stephen, is allowing the emotions of past traumas, past experiences to come up and reveal themselves and then to release them and let them go. Can we have that conversation with the listeners? Yeah, oh, totally.
We
because
need
people
to.
Think, oh, no, I'm not going to feel that. No. Isn't that like something bypass? What's the word?
Spiritual bypassing?
Yeah.
Spiritual bypassing is a little bit different when I go, I should be Gandhi. I should be Jesus. I should be this. And so I put on this mask that everything's okay, because that's, you talk about gratitude,
the
fake gratitude. It's like spiritual bypassing, assuming that I should be. And it's like, but you're not. Like, you see these people, especially the work that I'm doing, you see these people that are walking around, I am so happy. Okay, well, whatever's going on with your face, like that
you
doesn't
totally
look like,
see.
You, right? You could see this anguish that's right behind them. So it's like, we don't want to, it's like Ram Dass kind of said, shadow is the ultimate teacher for enlightenment. I don't go looking for suffering, but when I do, I typically find grace is at the root of it. It's like, I believe suffering is sacred. When I'm feeling, you folks listening at home, if you're driving around right now, just look around the room for the next, Sue, for the next 10 seconds, what I want you to do is I want you to look around the room. I want you to find everything that's red. Okay. And we're just going to give you 10 seconds. Count as much as you can. 10, 9, everybody do this. 8, look around. Red, red, red.
But if you're driving, don't do that.
Yeah. Don't look all the way around. Right. Just look on the road. Right. 3, 2, 1. Now close your eyes. Unless you're driving.
Yeah. Please remind the audience, not while they're driving.
Not while you're driving. How much stuff did you see that was blue?
Ah!
You didn't see anything. See, shadow work is the subjective experience. There was this subjective experience in your mind where you were focused in and all you could see was red. And isn't it true that you made pink red?
That I made pink red.
Right. You made something that was almost red, red, so that you go, yep, that's it, that's it, that's it. Started looking around for things in your environment that weren't just red, but they were as close to red as you could get to so that you could get it all.
I'm going to just go with this. Yes.
Yeah. Just go with it. And if you're in the, if you're listening and you've done this, then I mean, I've had people make brown red. I've had people. And the reason why is because the mind craves patterns. It's looking for, we call it the 24 cognitive biases, awfulizing attack thoughts, negative bias. National Science Foundation suggests that 95% of your thoughts are repetitive. Just again, look at your days and your weeks and your months. You're thinking the same thoughts over and over and over. They also suggest that 80% of those thoughts are rooted in negative thought processes, awfulizing attack thoughts, survival-based, survival-rooted thinking. 3.5 billion years, the flow of consciousness has been flowing through this planet, through us, and it's been evolving all the way up till now. The you're floating down the river of the story called Sue in the boat called Now. There's always been the boat called Now. And notice that river came from another river, which came from another river, which came from another river, which came from another river. There was all these. And so, and yeah, let's not even talk about reincarnation. Just talk about instincts. Let's just talk about patterns of survival. Well, that stuff is all sitting down there. And it is slowly, subtly, and completely altering your perception of reality. And if I've got this experience that I'm trapped, that was trapped in the basement, the mind comes online, that survival rooted, what do I need to do to survive? The mind goes, that's what you need to survive from. You're going to be trapped in the basement. And so some part of me, a false self, comes online and says, I got you. And he plants a flag in the ground in that consciousness. It's like you drop anchor right there and you go to harbor. Now that part of you is there. And it's like this is how we notice there is no such thing as time. There's part of you that you go back to your trauma. That part of you is online living now. It's like a record player that started playing that doesn't stop playing. You have to acknowledge that that song is playing. I know, me and my wife are driving down the road. We're getting Christmas presents. And all of a sudden, we're stuck in all these people. And I'm starting to feel like I can't move. I'm starting to feel like I'm getting bunched in. I start to feel this constriction. I start to not be able to breathe. I start to get this flight or fight. And I check myself. Oh, I'm trapped in the basement right now. Now I know what that is. It's not what's going on out here. It's what's going on in here. And now I can manage it. When I was working for Tony, you know, I spent 14 years actually working with Tony. And I was like at the pinnacle. Like I was flying around the world, talking in front of thousands of people, like Serbia, Australia, Canada. Like I was translated in 7 different languages simultaneously. I was making more money than I could have ever thought I would ever make. I was changing the world, living my why at the highest possible level. And I tell you, Sue, I was so scared and I was so miserable and I was in so much pain. And the reason why, because one of my other shadows is you're going to be a bum. My mom ran with like Hell's Angels types, like bikers, like true to life, you know, one percenters. And she would always be pointing at people. Don't be like so-and-so, you're going to be a bum. Don't be a so-and-so, you're going to be a bum. Be a bum, going to be a bum, going to be a bum, going to be a bum. And then this part of me just came online that was constantly looking, and you're going to be a bum was always just arm's length away. It was like the game Seven Steps from Kevin Bacon. It's like you're Tony's going to die, and you're going to lose your job. This is going to happen, then this is – it was always this length. And because I was trying to feed that I'm going to be a bum with success – that it's like in business, one of the things that Tony taught me, if you got a problem in your business and you grow your business, what does that do to the problem? Grows it,
makes
right?
It bigger. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. If you've got a problem in here and you're trying to fix it out here, guess what you think it does to that shadow? It was just kept getting bigger and bigger. And now it's like I'm living just this outrageous life, and I'm still only two steps away, but that bum it's a much bigger fall now. It's a much more intense kind of drop. And it's like, I just kept getting more stressed out and more stressed out until I finally was able to get underneath it. Mm-hmm. And now I can feel it in my body. I'm paying attention to what's really going on. I call this the imaginary world. Everything out here.
The Hogwarts.
There you go. That's exactly right. It's like,
yeah, totally. Wingardio Leviosa, right? We're speaking the same language here. Stephen, this is beautiful. Let's let's go into that awareness. And now I understand. Now I am feeling my feelings, my emotions, and recognizing, having that awareness that, my language, Stephen, is, that's just the nervous system, you know, tapping on my shoulder saying, we're going to keep you safe. We're going to keep you right here because of, and it did, the nervous system, it did a great job. It kept me safe back then, right? However, now the unfolding, the unpacking, I don't need that anymore. Can we have that conversation of when that's, like you were just saying, when you're driving with your wife, whether it's Christmas, and boy, I can totally relate to that. All of a sudden, there's so many people and you're like, oh, shiitake, something's going on here. And you have a reactionary. And then, you know, if you're not with them, and this is another important conversation too, if you're not with a person that understands or can witness and hold space for that, that's a whole nother argument conversation. Yeah. You know, I mean,
well,
and I was there for 22 years. And so it was, and so me coming out of that, not to say that this is about me, but it's also a recognition and an understanding because we've all lived somewhere this type of scenario, right? So where I'm going with this, let's unpack that awareness of, that's what's happening in my body. Okay, I just got dizzy. And it's important that the audience has permission and understands that it's okay to feel this and get it out of your BODY.
Yep. Well, most of the world, I like to say that being born isn't living. It's just the imitation.
Mm.
Right. And it ties in with Plato's statement that the unexamined life is not worth living. Mm. It's like, and the reality is when does everybody get this? Well, we're all going to get it. At my work in this, going all the way down to the very core of it, we're all going to get it. Eventually, we're all going to wake up and we'll hit that 100th monkey where there'll be a tipping point. So part of what I'm here for is not to just, hey, come look at Stephen. No, this is a call to, this is a call to F and arms. Like I'm going to, yes. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm on the radio.
Over there going,
no, hang on, Stephen. Like you made a promise. Like I know and understand I work for Tony Robbins. And if anybody's been to a Tony Robbins event, you know. So I can, but I'm good. I'm good. I can watch my plot, my narrative. Yeah. So it's a call to arms. And what I mean by that is I posted something on social media the other day about how to do shadow work in theater, real time. And somebody came online that had been doing shadow work for 5-6 years. First off, it's like, well, that's not necessarily that long of a time, but it's long enough to be considered, you know, something. And he was like, you should not be doing shadow work unless you have a professional. It's dangerous. No, it's not. It's dangerous walking around asleep at the wheel, thinking you're somewhere you're not. That's dangerous. Right? The mind does not take you anywhere. Your ego will not give you anything that's too unsafe. So everybody,
you gotta repeat that. That's so important. I don't want the audience not to hear that.
Yeah.
Because the ego.
The ego will not give you more than you're prepared to deal with. It will keep it. The first rule of shadow work is we lie to ourselves first. That's the first rule. Knowing that I lie to myself all the time. Right now, you're not really seeing the color black on my shirt. That's what you're lying to yourself, and you're telling yourself that's what you're seeing. When you see a tree, you don't really see a tree. Like when you're looking for the color red, the mind deletes, distorts, and generalizes. That's what it does. It automatically is looking through life through a keyhole, but I think I know everything. I think that, and then all of a sudden I can see a little more keyhole, and because I can see more than I saw yesterday, I think I can see it all. And that, I mean, we go into teenage.
And it's all based on individual experiences and what their lens shows them past, current,
exactly.
Yeah, all of that. Yeah, yeah.
Like you're floating in the boat, and all of a sudden you start to feel this in the boat. Like you're in the boat, and maybe it's this feeling of frustration. I believe we've got two... I'm thinking maybe three. Again, everything is an evolution for me. So it's condensing thoughts and expanding thoughts. Barbara Fudge, she's a psychologist, called it the broaden and build theory. Think of, like, when you're angry, all you can think of is the stuff that really makes you mad. And when I'm scared, all I can think is the stuff that freaks me out, all the stuff that's gonna happen. Isn't that interesting? It's like a camera lens, your consciousness, and scary or angry condensed emotions bring me in, and all I can focus is on those things, and expansive love, curiosity. All of a sudden now I can see more colors. I can see more everything in front of me. I can now engage with the outside world, being more resourceful. Like success is never a matter of resources. It's always a matter of resourcefulness. And so it's like, we start to go, okay, what are you feeling? Well, what are you feeling? Well, I'm feeling like you don't love me. Okay. Well, that's a judgment. That's not a feeling. First off, that's a judgment. We have to separate that out, because the judgment is typically tied to the shadow. First, we want to get into the body. What's going on? You're sitting there. First off, if you're celebrating the holidays right now and you find yourself in public, here's a really easy trick. It operates at what I call the second influence point, which is the plot. Just whistle Christmas tunes in your mind, just whistling Christmas tunes. What it does is it coaches you. Like, you know what I mean? I'm going through the airport. I'm going through the stores, just whistling. Everybody's looking at me. But what I was noticing was people are looking at me, and the little kids are going, Frost. What's the snowman?
Frosty the snowman.
I was whistling Frosty the snowman. I saw these kids. They're like, he's whistling. Like they were all excited, and I could feel the energy ebbing out of me into the environment, like a mushroom growing. And it kept me sane, right? So first off, there's a little sneaky little shadow work trick, right? I'm going to coat myself with the experience, with the vibration that I want to have. I'm not going to let any other vibrations in. You either control your mind or it controls you. Most people don't have thoughts. Most people's thoughts have them. And so we're trying to get to the root of what the real thought is, because they're experiencing life on the surface of it. This is the experience that but they're not diving down under the deep conscious, down into the water to find out what's the boat floating on. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, what am I feeling in my body? Are you mad, sad, glad? And shadow work is a subjective experience. So everybody that's listening, or Sue, just think of the last time you were separated from gratitude. Because what we're doing in shadow work is
daily, babe. I mean, it's the process, right?
Yes. Well, but what is that process? When was the last time? Because we don't think in time, we think in moments, and we store those moments by story. So there was this one moment when. Was it morning? Was it afternoon? Was it night?
Is that a question? Morning.
It was morning. You were in the morning. So was it just getting up? Did it? The software that is mine loaded up, and did you start talking about your problems? Like what was the process that the mind went into, the architecture of the mind went into?
For me, this morning I woke up and I went through an old pattern regarding mm-hmm. my daughters. I've got three grown daughters, and not being able to see them over the holiday was very hurtful for me.
Mm-hmm. And what was the judgment underneath it that was riding?
I'm not enough. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And notice how in your mind, go back into that the subjective experience of I'm not going to get to see my my, but notice how there was the story that I'm not going to get to see my girls and all the, but underneath it was, I'm not enough. And notice the, I'm not enough loaded first. Now going down into that, I'm not enough, and feeling that I'm not enough, and kind of, I call it checking your pockets, feel mm-hmm. around inside of it and look at how basic the decision-making processes are in that algorithm of I'm not enough. It's win, lose, fail. It's very Sith-like, right? Only the Sith deal in absolutes. You're very in this core, and there's like, the sun is going to come up tomorrow. I'm going to not be enough. And then the mind then sits in that space, and then it spins out. It runs scenarios, right?
This is why you're not enough.
Yep. This thing's why you're not. And then you go in here and you talk to your hubby, and now you're not enough there. And Benny comes online, and your sound just isn't working. And then all of a sudden my shoelace breaks, and all this stuff. But notice that all of it validates this. I'm not enough.
Well, right there, that's important. And you know what, Stephen, that's really important, because it's the external validation that happens, right? And people don't understand. Well, it happened to me, and then it keeps happening to me. So it is happening to me, right? Mm-hmm. So with that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Stephen, for those of you joining us on the radio, we're still live on YouTube for the next three-ish minutes. So you're welcome to join us there. All you got to do is go to YouTube and type in 1150 AM. We will be right back. This is Sue with Clarity with Sue. Everyone, Sue here with Clarity with Sue. You also know me as the host and creator of the Gratitude Cafe. Please sign up for the newsletter so we can stay in touch. All you got to do is go to claritywithsue.com, sign up for the newsletter. And I am creating vitality, abundance, and resilience. I want you to win in life and to reclaim, rediscover, redesign the authentic and genuine you. If that sounds juicy and yummy, come over, let's have a conversation, sign up for the newsletter and or the coaching program and the C2C live online program. Again, that's claritywithsue.com.
Do you make a positive difference in the world? Do you have a talent, philosophy, base of knowledge, product or service that you know could help a lot of people if only you could reach them? Join Alternative Talk 1150's family of broadcasters and start walking down a fruitful path. As host of your very own program, dial 425-653-1150 and find out just how affordable it can be to have a show on 1150 AM. That's 425-653-1150. Alternative Talk, we have an opportunity waiting just for you.
I'm okay.
You're not okay.
It's normal to have diarrhea and stomach pains.
Sometimes, but not as often as you do.
I've got this under control.
No, you don't.
It's time to let that voice inside your head be heard. Urgent diarrhea and chronic stomach pain can be signs of Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. The Crohn's and Colitis Foundation can help you learn more and even find a specialist. Don't keep your symptoms to yourself. Get help at spillyourguts.org.
Alternative Talk 1150. It's good for what ails you. This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA.
We don't have the means to rise above and feed it, so we keep
standing at a distance, so we keep waiting on the world to change. Now if we have the power to bring our neighbors home from war,
Yeah, we don't want me singing. We'll let the artist keep singing. Oh, that was a beautiful song. Thank you, Benny. Oh my gosh, if you guys missed us on YouTube, you got to get the whole show. You know what, Stephen, what's happening in my body? It is zinging. My body is literally lit up, not only by this conversation, but I can feel my cells transforming and releasing. So in that, thank you very much for the presence and holding the container in the space to allow that to happen. So thank you. It's like,
yeah, we do this process online on Zoom. If you go to theshadowtribe.com, you can join a private group. And every Monday night, right now we're doing them on Monday nights, me and my students, I've got students now. This sounds weird even saying, it's not like I'm a guru. I'm not a guru. I'm not a therapist. And I'm just a guy who's bumped his head up against all this stuff under here. So it's like, lower your head. Nope. Yep.
See, yep. Told you and me both. Hurt. You right? and me both. Yeah.
So, but every Monday night we have these, we do these weekly integration calls where we go down into it. And what you're feeling is this descent. It's they call it limbic space. You go from chronos time to kairos time. You go from watch time to heart time. And there's this sinking that comes online, and it feels uncomfortable a little bit. And at the same time, there's something opening up. It's like there's some part of you, deeper part of you. It's like, oh, she can finally hear that she's not good enough. But she can finally, and because I think that it's the cave you most fear to enter that holds the treasures you seek. And so inside that feeling of not good enough that you were experiencing while you're feeling around in your pockets, also notice how old you feel. Do you feel like a full-grown woman this morning when you were having that story in your head? Did you feel like a little girl? Did you feel like a little boy? Did you feel like, what was the feeling that you were on? I felt like I was how old?
Oh, I felt like I was a little girl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Notice there's that eternal youth. Yes. And then we would go, if we were on Zoom or we were, it's a subjective experience. It gets very personal. We drive down in. I've seen just about every horror you can imagine come out on these in these sessions. And then I do one-on-ones, of course, as well. And then I do this thing called shadow ceremony, which is, it was given to me 20 plus years of working in the field, working with Tony, working with just genius facilitators and guides and trainers, and being blessed with that. And then working with plant medicine, mushrooms, and ayahuasca, they gave me this process where we go into the very darkest part of your cave, through that into the shadow. This is not, and I don't believe life happens to you. I don't believe life happens from you. I believe life is happening through you. You're suing. You're the universe suing right now. That's interesting. Right?
Yeah. You're suing. Yeah. Sue.
Not suing as I'm going to get you, but suing as in, yeah, life is coming through me. And
or
anytime
stevening
is, yes, and so we go, the ego thinks that this is the software that is Sue, the ego that is Sue, like in the river called story called Sue, you think that's the only river there is. And thank you, mind, for keeping me safe. It's an important illusion, because otherwise we're not, I've done the ego death, and you lose the ability to communicate. You lose the ability, like all words are trapped. Ego, it's communication. It's the point of reference in the hologram of life. It's where you are. It's the I am. I am Stephen. Oh, okay. There it is right there, right? But below that, we find that we're all connected. And so like the challenge becomes, this is some stuff that if you go listen to Aubrey Marcus, Mark Gaffney, they do this three-part series on the unique self. We've been programmed to be consumers. We've been programmed to feed this thing called the ego in our world. Feed the ego, be an individual, be unique. Well, or not be unique, but be separate. It's not separate, it's unique. It's not, and then you go over to the Eastern, it's like, no, we are all one, we are all connected. Yes, we are all connected, we are all one, we are all God made manifest, we are all the universe, Stevening, suing, whatever it is, and we are the unique expression of the universe. And the unique self has the ability to be satisfied. Ego can never be satisfied, but the unique expression of me in this moment in time, I get this place to stand where I'm okay with whatever's going on. And now I'm working, what is the universe require of me? And I turn into evolved unique self. And then when we all start to do this as a community, we're talking about unique self symphony. We're talking about no longer needing a symphony, no longer needing a composer. We no longer need, because we're the unique expression of what the universe is bringing through us. And there's no more resistance, the I'm not good enough. We break out of that because we're no longer living out of the false self. We're no longer feeding. Most people don't design the ideal life. Most people manage circumstances. And then they struggle because they're managing the management.
Hang on a minute, love. This is beautiful. Let me put a pin in the false self.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got to go back to that awareness. Mm-hmm. You know, we can keep having this conversation, a beautiful conversation, by the way. Thank you very much for your wisdom. The false self is a conversation we need to be made aware of, because we're living in a delusion. We're living in that illusion.
Yep. They brought it up in the Matrix. So what is the Matrix? Like, what is first off, what is real? Well, you know, let's take a look at first off, when you see a kitten, cats are bred as predators. That's what they do. They eat things, they prey. They've been evolved over the course of billions of years to be this this predator, right? And when you see a kitten, what are they doing? They're hunting. They're practicing praying. That's what they're doing. In their mind, they're doing the full-blown praying. When you see a little person, a little human, what do parents tell kids to do? Go play. What we're doing here is we're playing. See, I believe the mind has been, the purpose of the mind is to create meaning. Right now, as you're listening to this radio station, you're going, what does this mean? What does it mean in relationship to me? What does it mean in my relationship to everything? What does it mean existentially? What does this all mean? And notice that as you're wrestling with that, you're plugging that meaning into other meaning. I believe the mind has been built for meaning. It's designed for meaning, but it's been hijacked for survival. It's been
hijacked for survival. Yep.
3.5 billion years. I mean, just look at the evolutionary process where most of our existence as humans, we were food. Like on a good day, you might have a couple extra berries to share with Sue. On a bad day, game over. Thanks for playing, right? And right on the edge of death for like that long, we start to develop instincts and survival mechanisms that where we start to look for a T-Rex to chase, that we come on, that survival rooted programming comes online in the mind, and then something happens to us, and then that becomes active. And now we're living, and there's not a person that I've come into contact with that's not suffering from some form of trauma. The birthing process alone, we're going to go deep here for a minute, follow me. The birthing process alone, Stanislav Grof said, there's four matrices of birth. Now you go into the four matrices of birth, and now you look at Joseph Campbell, who went in and looked at every story, every mythology that's ever been told. There's this overarching process of everything is great. All of a sudden it sucks. We go down into trials and tribulations. We come into what's called the ordeal. We gain some superpower, which is beyond what we thought we needed. And then we come back and fight the dragon. And then we return home with the gifts that we brought. That cycle goes over and over. I think it's amazing. Just for a second, as you're driving in your car, stop and think that every story that you've ever heard, that's ever been worth hearing, followed a certain blueprint. And mm-hmm. that story, on top of every story your parents have ever been told, your parents' parents, your parents, all the way back to the first story ever told, it follows this birthing process where we are. So I believe that we all suffer from dark nights of the soul. I believe that it's built into the experience of who we are to go through those dark nights down into the darkness and mine for who am I really?
If they choose to. Many are walking around completely.
Well, they go down into that. And when they go down into that, it validates that false sense of survival. And so then we go into survival rooted, maintenance based. And if I'm a sailor that's been stranded on an island called survival, and all
they
I have
think
is
that's
a,
their norm.
They think that is the norm for everybody out here. To them, that's the nightmare that everybody's living out of is the norm. And they're all walking around smiling, thinking that they're okay. When I start to pull on the thread, and all of a sudden, like, people get on the call with me, and within 15 minutes, they're like bawling and they're like, I'm so sorry. No, I saw this coming way back here. Like, this is normal. Breathe, like, feel what you're feeling. Totally. Because you're feeling that, they're feeling this sense of angst and struggle all the time, and they're trying to feed it. What we want to do is we want to step out of that now. And we want to go.
Audience, did you guys hear that? You're trying to feed that fear. You're trying to feed the angst, the adjective to describe, if I could use that as a big umbrella.
Yep.
It's really important exactly that they hear that, right?
You notice that what you're doing is you're trying to make a feeling that you have internally go away by manifesting a solution externally.
Yep. And it's gonna show up and validate for you. It's gonna be all there. It is. Yep. So do you want to choose the validation of a higher frequency of love and appreciation, or do you want to keep going down the hole of resentments and fears and all that? And that's not to say bring it out and honor it and let it go. That's a whole nother thing, you guys. Just not in denial, right? And witnessing. Stephen, talk about that witnessing and not having the attachment.
I've got 11-year-old twin girls. I'll give you a personal experience. Is that personal experience?
Okay, so I've had three daughters, man. I'll tell you right now, they are a petri dish.
Seven kids total, five left in the home. You're just like, we could continue to dig down that. Like, some of us want a little more than others, I suppose. But seven kids total. The youngest are now twins. God wanted me to spit them out two at a time, apparently. And I've got an 11-year-old, and she's struggling in school. You know, COVID. She was being bullied. Like, we doing a lot of. I want to talk. Make sure that put a pin in the word bully. I want to come back to that.
Okay.
Because I want to eradicate bullying in a very different way than what most people are looking at bullying, but let's put a pin in that. But she's struggling at school. And it, finally it got to the point where she wouldn't do any homework. She's disengaging completely. And it was the end of the year. And the teacher's like, look, she does this or she doesn't pass. We're talking fifth grade, fourth grade. Like, she's not gonna remember any of this anyways, but she's got to get it done or else. And so we're at the or else stage, and you know, she's all day long, she's been not wanting to do it. And you could see as she's leaving, she's getting on her phone, texting her friends. Again, the judgment I'm making up, she's texting her friends. These parents are assholes, excuse my language, right? And she's going through all of that. And finally, one day, once she comes in, and I'm full ownership, I'm a practitioner. I'm a shadow guide, but a good shadow guide has to be a practitioner first. So I'm a practitioner first and foremost, right?
Totally.
First and foremost. And so so she comes in and something happened. I can't quite remember what it was, the trigger. All I just remembered is I went into what I call a DNOTS, dark night of the soul, or an Armageddon type moment, worst case scenario. Like, somehow death is looming on, I've got to fix this now. All right, I've had enough. And I stand up, now dad's mad. And now I come in and I'm yelling. There's an 11-year-old little girl not doing her homework, and there's this grown man standing on top of her, screaming at her from the top of his lungs, spits coming out. Like, I'm giving you the ugly, right? And as I'm yelling at her again, all this training goes up, and big red flag goes, dude, you're in shadow. Like, foul on the play. Like, the thing goes out, and I shut
Thank
down.
Thank you for being that example, sweetheart, because we are practitioners every
yes,
yes. day.
Oh, people come, and it's like, well, how come you think that you're going to do the work and it's going to change and you're going to be all of a sudden be Gandhi? You're coming, like, you're running these looking for it. That doesn't exist. I've not let yet one person who walks on water, not one person doesn't wipe after they, well, people that should, that don't, but never met anybody who somehow has reached it.
No.
It just doesn't exist. Even the Dalai Lama, he's got an attachment to watch bands. That's, we all have work to do. That's why we're here. Yeah. Anyways, so the first thing I do is I disengage, grab her phone. We're done with this. Do your homework. I'll be right back. And I walk in. And again, we talked about couples. We are doing shadow work, because the best place to do shadow work is in your intimate relationships.
Oh.
Because they're safe enough to throw that
if
projection.
If they are safe.
If they are safe.
Yeah.
Well, even if they aren't safe, there's work there. Like,
oh, there's work there. However, yeah. But yeah.
Well, okay, either way you go, if you and your significant other are engaged in this process together, like me and my wife are engaged in it. So I need a minute. I need a minute. I walked in, I sit in my space. Okay. And the first thing I do is I disconnect the mind. So right now, what I want you to do, Sue, is in your mind, if you're on the phone right now, what I want you to do is I want you to just repeat the words. I give you permission to see all of me, the good and the bad. Just say it in your mind.
See all of me, good and bad.
All right. Now what I want you to do is I want you to think of the deepest, darkest secret that you've ever had. And I want you to then think of that secret. And I want you to go again, say, I give you permission to see all of me, my deepest, darkest shadow. Notice in your mind, there was almost like a trepidation. Is this guy actually going to be able to see this? Is this real? There was almost like a holding back. Did you feel that?
I honestly jumped in. I don't think I held back.
Yeah, you're going all the way in. Most people right here, we're looking for agency. What we're looking for there is we're looking for, when do I make the thought just the thought? And when do I make the thought real? That's what we're looking for.
Well, what? Because I just went right in. I just leaned right in.
You went, oh, yeah, here we go. And I could take you down in there if you want to. We could show these guys a real experience. But we'll do it again on live radio. I want you to imagine I'm getting ready to tell you to give me your deepest, darkest. Feel that wall. Instant resistance come up.
Well, now, yes. I'm like,
yes. Nope. Yep. And what we want to do is we want to cut off the mind from making it. So now I walk in, I sit in my space. I sit down, I cut off the mind. And my mind wants to go, and this is going to mean this, and this is going to mean that. She's never going to graduate from college, and she's never going to get married, and this is going to be terrible. Like, shut up. Like, just shut up. And shut the mind
completely
down. The story
you're telling, yeah.
Right, yeah, right. I wasn't allowed to, and I just felt what was going on. I felt this knot right here, gave it a shape, gave it a color. What we're doing is we're investigating the feeling. Without allowing it, and my mind kept wanting to make meaning. Because again, the mind is a meaning maker. You're not on duty right now. Like, you're not working. And I disconnected it, didn't give it any agency, and they would just float off. And they would just, it's weird to explain, but I just stay with the body. What am I feeling? And the next thing you know, that feeling got harder and it got more, and it almost felt like I was being punched in the gut. And about 10, 15 minutes of this, it hurt. And then and I forget, root word of human being in Arabic is to forget. So then I forgot that was going on. And all of a sudden I said, checked in. I checked in with the mind. Okay, what are you doing? And all of a sudden I get this memory. The overlap, I call it a hologram, overlaps. All of a sudden I have this memory of when I was 11 years old, I went to go visit my father, who had crawled into a bottle when I was abused. And I hadn't seen him. It was the first time I'd ever seen him. And now I'm with my dad, and he's made broccoli. And he's made it a point to make sure that I'm going to eat this broccoli because I made this broccoli, and he's shoving it down my throat. Ugh. Well, there's a gag reflex. The gag reflex is the gag reflex. So now I get this flashback. I'm sitting over the toilet and I'm hurling up this broccoli, and I look up, and my dad is standing there with his arms crossed, and he's got this absolute terror and disgust at the same time. It's like, and the judgment, you'll never be a man. And I held on to that hologram and I overlapped it over the experience. And what I realized for the first time, I was trying to make my daughter eat my broccoli. Because if I can make you eat this broccoli, maybe I'll be okay. Maybe you won't go through what I went through. And maybe I'll finally be a man. And it was like all of a sudden the frustration that I felt, all the Armageddon moment that this is going to be the end of the end, it just went down. The hologram came down, and now I can be in relationship with my daughter. We've had another incident like that since. And it's because I now know there's a part of me that's going to try to make me have my kids eat my broccoli. It's not their job to eat my broccoli. It's my job to go back and give that little boy the love. It's okay, man. It's okay. Like, not all broccoli, not everybody likes broccoli. And it's okay that you don't like broccoli. You like a lot of things that a lot of other people don't like, don't you? Yep. And I've gone back in, and now I'm having this relationship, oddly enough, with this little boy that lives inside of me. And now we can communicate. And now all the gifts that that little boy had trapped in him, I now have access to that. I know what it feels like to get broccoli shoved down your throat. And I know what it feels like to be an innocent little boy that just wants his dad to love him. I can feel that now. I'm not trying to be a grown-up. I'm actually learning to be a grown up. I'm in process. I'm always in process.
We're always in that yoga pose, brother. Always yep. in the pose. Always.
So that's a very clear example of how, and absolutely would have, if I would have not done that work, there's no telling, I would have passed that broccoli. And here's the other piece. Now look back at my dad and now see that my dad was handing me the broccoli that broccoli he was me. Forced yes. to eat.
Yes.
And we're seeing the generational shadow come down line, and it stopped right here. And it stopped right here. So I did that work. So if you're, and then the next question is now when I did that work, did I then at some level do the work for my dad as well? And my grandfather and my grandmother, and we're doing the work. This is, if you're here now, if you're hearing my voice now,
here.
Yes. For they who have the ear to hear the words that are coming out of my mouth. Now is the time to go in and start to do the work. Because we're not going to change. We're not going to stop the wars. We're not going to stop the racism. We're not going to start the homophobia. We're not going to stop the you're trying to eat me. By me going out here and doing this out here, the work starts in here. And when I change in here, somehow, I don't know how, I don't know why, but everything is fractal. And if I can do the work in here, I can transform what's going on out here by just owning and doing my own work.
Mm. And it is a minute to minute, second to second, minute process every
it's
day.
It's in the now.
It is.
You can't do work yesterday. You can't do work tomorrow. Shadow shows up in the now.
Oh.
Yep. In the boat called now.
in the effing boat called now. Right. I'm watching. Yep. I can't. Steven, we could keep talking for hours. I want to keep going and going and going. It's such a good, beautiful, powerful conversation. The beautiful Superman, my producer, Benny, he's like, we got 2 minutes left. How do you want to wrap this up, love?
Again, it's just a call to arms. You know, I wouldn't, if I didn't give you tools. So I don't have the time to go to a workshop. That was the thing. I don't have time to go to a workshop. Okay. So is the time the only thing that keeping you? I don't have the money. Money's the only thing keeping you. Okay, cool. We'll go down on your phone and download the 30-day mental cleanse app.
That's
and
what
there's an
just
app.
Bring up. Good. Thank you.
Yep. You can. There's an in theater process called, and I'm actually getting ready to launch only 4 groups of 10. I'm going to take 40 people down this river called Who Are You Really? We can call it whatever you want. And we're going to go over a 4-week process. We're all 10 people in the group. We're going to go through a 4-week process called the mental cleanse. Download the app. There's free stuff in the app. If you go to theshadowtribe.com, it'll take you to a Facebook group. If you don't fill out the questions, I'm not letting you in, because this is about awareness. It's about being conscious. And so you have to answer the questions to be let in. They're simple. How did you find us? Or do you commit to not being a butthole? Yep. Okay, great. We'll let you in. Like, it's that easy. We just want to make sure that they're consciously coming in, not just clicking on stuff because it sounded cool.
Right.
We'll let you in. And then every Monday night, we do a live 2.5 hours, sometimes 3 hours, and we'll break into 3 groups. I've got, anywhere from, I've got about 300 students now, and I'll have students come online, and I walk around and work with them. If you go to masteringchange.com, that'll take you to my website. It's got all of it. If you want to come check out Shadow Ceremony, that's intense. It's not for the faint of heart. We're going to go all the way into the core of who you are and reconnect you to your Axis Mundi, the center of your universe. Like, we want life flowing through you. Life needs to be flowing through you. There's too many people walking around here and life just keeps smacking them in the face. That's because you're looking at it from the outside in. You need to be looking at it from the inside out. And so Shadow Ceremony will take you and reconnect that all the way down into the core of who you are. And then I do one-on-one stuff as well, but those are being few and far between, because I've got people now that I can send you to. I can spend more time working with my students.
I love it. Oh, yeah. Steven, thank you.